This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Okay, are we ready? Are we rocking? Are we rolling?
We were born ready to rock.
Okay.
It's time for
Touch
of the Jam.
Touch
of the Jam.
Touch
of the Jam.
Touch
of the Jam.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome again to the best podcast that makes the greatest hits even greater. Pretty sure it's the only one. My name's Miel Bredo. This is Punch Up the Jam. And today with me, a guest that actually danced during the intro song with me. Thank you. Most people just stare at me.
Honestly, I assume that this was like me entering into a late night talk show.
Exactly. So
I was like,
this is Ellen.
This is like Ellen. Well, I mean, daytime. Sure.
Daytime talk show, Ellen.
Noted late night host, Ellen DeGeneres.
We deserve it.
We deserve it.
Are you ready for your intro?
Honestly, I know.
Okay. Well, I'm going to do it anyway.
Well, here goes.
And here's your song. You know him from Jesus Christ Superstar Live, The Great Comet, Alice by Heart, or maybe from his monthly sketch comedy show, Shiz at UCB. Steve Saunders. Do you like
That was amazing. Also, everything about that was amazing.
Thank you so much, and thank you for
coming
on the pod.
I like the idea that it's my sketch comedy show. That's very nice.
You're welcome.
You.
I call it my island, my hometown.
So right. Like, that's fair.
Where's your hometown? We're all doing it. Oh, it's Orcas Island. Shout out.
Oh, we've talked about this.
Yeah.
I'm also from Seattle. Okay.
It's amazing, right?
Yeah.
We that love you know Seattle. Where I'm from?
Orcas Island.
I think there is like a kinetic energy between people from the Pacific Northwest.
I think that's just true.
Speaking of the way you ended up on this podcast, can we tell? Can I explain?
I think so. I think you have to, honestly.
Thank you, God. Okay, so we're at a really cool New York party the other night. Very chic, very cool. Pizza.
That's actually true.
It was, right? It was cool.
Super chic.
And we were Ubering back, and we were a friend of the pod, friend of my heart, friend of your heart, Natalie Walker. And she was saying, as she is wont to do, how great my podcast is. She's like my personal hype man. I love her.
That's great.
And you were like, I want to come on and I want to do The Way. And I was like, the fastball song? And instantly you were like, yes, I have a great story about The Way. And I was like, absolutely. Yep, correct. You're coming on. Thank you so much.
That is how that went down.
Can you please tell me your history with this song?
Well, okay. So what you have to understand about me as a consumer of pop culture is that I didn't watch TV or listen to the radio when I was a child.
Whoa.
Except for when I was with, if I was with like a friend or if I was around someone who was watching TV or listening to the radio. So I have this, I am a psychopath and I actually don't listen to music in a car. Like when I'm
what?
Driving, I don't listen to
what
music.
What do you listen to?
Nothing. Silence. It's very strange.
Heath.
I told you I'm a psychopath. I wanted to get this out of the way before we like get into the nitty gritty of it. But
okay.
So there's this, so the song, The Way, is really important to me because when I was, 10, when it basically came out,
1998.
Noted 1998 jam based on a 1997 story. We'll talk about that.
Yep.
Basically when it came out, when my friends would like listen to it, they'd be like, oh, this is my jam. It comes on and people would be like singing along to it. And I, being a like deeply socially awkward individual.
Twisted.
And also a psychopath. I would listen to the song and I didn't understand how people were like jamming to it because the song is super tragic.
It's
like
so sad.
It's so depressing.
And I had no idea until you mentioned it in that Uber.
And that's the thing about the song is that I'm bringing attention to the importance of listening to the lyric because you almost said, I am a musical theater maven. So the
that
lyric.
Was an original version of your intro that didn't make air. Thank you for bringing it back.
Oh yeah. I don't know. Everything is on the table now.
Yep.
I wanted everybody to have
We're
all the context.
We're both psycho. We're both super cute. We both pay way too much attention to lyrics. We're
way
to great
too
start.
Much attention. And that for me is what The Way is. It's like this really like intense story that is hidden inside of this like bop.
Anyone can see the
road that they walk on is paved.
Yeah, I've never known the words to this song.
Yeah, it's weird.
And I think it's fitting that you really only heard it from other people listening to it because I feel like most people don't actually know what this song is until they hear it. And they're like, oh, I've only heard this in grocery stores, on the radio.
Absolutely.
Other people's cars driving by.
just blaring it. Yeah. There's like people in their like they're hyped up cars.
I want to see hydraulics.
The hydraulics like bouncing two fastballs The Way.
Oh my God. Okay. Fastball, of course, had that other song as well. I really resent people calling them a one hit wonder because they had the was I out of my head, was I out of my mind.
But
I
I just never stop.
Right. You can, and honestly, one can't.
When you get into that fast ball, you're in the fast lane.
When you get to that fast ball, you're in the fast lane.
I've said that my whole life.
noted Seattleite thing to say.
Thank you so much. Okay, I want to shout out the patron, Lindsay Jones. Sorry, I said it wrong. One more time. Lindsay Jonas. She added, I truly feel that 1998 was one of the best years for 90s alternative rock. Other hits that came out this year were Closing Time by Semisonic.
Hugely important.
Iris by the Goo Goo Dolls.
Whoa.
One Week by the Bare Naked Ladies.
Hugely
What
important.
It's Like by Everlast. Fly Away by Lenny Kravitz. And Inside Out by Eve Six.
Okay.
That's my entire childhood in one year.
Well, I was like, and it's funny is that like those are all things. I never listened to the radio and I know all those songs.
Exactly.
It's wild.
1998 was the year that we were like, yeah, I know this song.
Yeah.
Oh,
it was like the king of like, nobody knows what any of those songs are called.
Nope.
No, they get just like here when they come on, exactly. They're like, yeah, okay. Yeah, that's
put my heart in the blender, but you spin around.
Beautiful. They're like, it's me.
Oh my God, Ed, if you're listening, thank you for your emails. I do love them. The lead singer of Bare Naked Ladies emails me from time to time.
Oh my God.
He sends the best forwards.
Can I tell you that one time I used to do karaoke and one time I, on a whim, decided that I was going to try and do 1 week. And
it's so hard.
It was a disaster. And I made a huge fool of myself. And I literally went home drunk that night and memorized all of 1 week so that if I ever went on to karaoke again in the future and sang 1 week, I'd be able to do it. And now
you're just
I
drilling just like yourself do... shithoused at home at 3 a.m.
Literally.
Chicken China, the Chinese chicken.
You have drumstick and the brain stops ticking. Watching X-Files and the lights on. Adana May is on. I hope the smoking man's in this one. I'm carrying them forward and getting frantic.
Tantric.
Stickers that I need to satisfy. Like Kurosawa Eggman Bad Films. Okay, I don't make films, but if I did, I'd have a samurai.
This is where it gets hard.
Oh, God.
It's the finest of the flavors.
No, but that's the first verse. We're in the second verse.
You're right. I'm sorry. Marika, by the way. Marika, thank you for just staring at me with the expression that you should stop, because that's how I know we've gone too far.
I can't see her, so I'm going to keep going until you explicitly stop me.
So Lindsay goes on to say, this song always made me feel uncomfortable for some reason. I think she's like you, Heath. I think she paid too much attention. Mm-hmm. The summer this came out, my family and I went on a road trip, and my dad started out the trip by playing this song. My parents and I all sang along, but I remember being slightly panicked that this meant he had no idea where he was going.
Well, what would be crazier if it was like he like played the song and then like literally got up and left and like just left her in the car. Because that's really what
so
happens in the song.
Sad.
That literally happens in the song. The children woke up and they tried to find it. They're like, okay. They couldn't find them.
We have to give the backstory now on the real story that inspired the song.
1997.
Yes.
It was in Texas. I'm going to remember it. Lila and...
Oh my God.
Edward?
Raymond.
No, Raymond.
Lila and Raymond Howard.
Got it.
They're this elderly couple.
One of them had just had brain surgery and the other had Alzheimer's.
Oh my God. You really know your shit. Thank
well,
you.
Well, I after you said that I was going to come on here, I did do some background research.
But... Oh my God. I love you so much for this. Thank you.
Oh no, keep going.
As you said, they both were not maybe full faculty, maybe even shouldn't have been driving.
Probably not.
But for whatever reason, they were like, we're going to drive from our town of Salado, Texas to a Pioneer Day festival. A lot of questions. Pioneer Day?
Thanksgiving. I was just thinking Pioneer Square, and I was like, why would
you? Seattle?
In Seattle,
oh my God, the great market.
A huge market.
Oh, I love it.
So anyway.
They were going to drive over to Temple, Texas, but they never arrived.
Right.
So what happened to them? Where did they go?
Well, they ended up, where they found them 2 weeks later?
There was one sighting, and it was in Arkansas, hundreds of miles away.
Right.
The cops pulled them over for driving with their lights off.
Natch.
But not knowing that they shouldn't be driving at all, which I have a lot of questions here, but I feel like maybe you talk to them and you realize, actually, you guys shouldn't be driving. I don't know. Who's to say?
maybe do them a drunk test or something? I don't know.
I mean,
like,
I don't know.
Like, a lot of questions. A
lot of questions here. Like Pioneer Day again. Circle back. Love some answers
what
on that.
What is that? Also, it can't be Thanksgiving because Pioneer Day is in what it was in like June or something.
Oh my God. This you know the like, month this happened?
In June 1997.
I love you so much. I didn't even write it down in my actual notes.
That's wild.
So a group of teenagers are out doing what teenagers do and they see the car at the bottom of a cliff.
Yeah.
And they both were dead inside. And that was a news story that went on for 2 weeks of people going, where did they go? How can we find them? And then finally resulted in that, which is super sad unless you think it was on purpose. And now it's like very badass and Thelma Louise of them.
Right.
So.
But like on purpose. Okay, carry on.
What were you going to say?
I was just going to say that on purpose, like, does that make it badass or does it make it even more psychopathic? Because again, No, you have to understand
you have Alzheimer's.
Right. But you have to understand that I, as a child, listening to the Fastball song, which of course is a dramatized version of what happened.
Yes.
But I listened to the Fastball song and I identified with the children who woke up and couldn't find them.
If it makes you feel any better, the children in this story are 60 plus.
Right.
They are full grown adults. Like, I mean, just throwing it out there. So the lead singer.
So sad.
The lead singer of Fastball, Tony Scalzo or Salzo, the world may never know.
Honestly, we can take bets now.
The world for sure knows, but the world in this room does not, unfortunately. He actually started writing the song before the story had its conclusion. Mm-hmm. So he just saw the story unfolding and then was inspired and was like, I want to write a story about this couple who just like takes
up
off.
Enrolled. Yeah.
And it even sounds like kind of prescient. I can't say that word. Prescient. Now you're second guessing it.
Now I'm second guessing
it. This is my disease.
This is bad.
You're welcome. Anyway, so he kind of, I feel like in the song, we'll get into it, but I feel like he predicted this ended with a golden road.
Yeah.
If that means, I don't know, highway to heaven?
Unclear.
Classic song.
Highway to hell. I think it was a stairway to heaven, the highway to hell.
It should be a highway to heaven.
No, I'm certain it's a stairway. Wait, now I'm second guessing myself.
No, it is.
I'm kidding. Can you imagine if I was like,
oh, wait, Highway to Heaven, Led Zeppelin's. Onward driving the highway to heaven.
That's definitely it.
Okay, one more note before we get into it.
Okay.
This is for my music heads out there. This song does something very interesting. I've always harmonically felt there was something awry here, but until I Googled it, I wasn't sure what. It switches from minor key in the verse to major key in the chorus.
Oh, yeah.
That's fairly unusual for a pop song, at least in the chorus. Maybe in like the bridge, pretty obvious. Mm. But I found this website, Rebel Music Teacher.
Oh, my God.
And they have a whole analysis that I want to read.
Of this song?
Well, of like quarterly what's happening here.
Okay, okay.
This song follows a classic minor to major structure in that the verses appear in a minor mode while the chorus sounding in the parallel major. The song begins in F sharp minor. Relative to A major.
Goes to A major. Yeah.
Yep. The final chord of the verses after the vocals finish is an E major chord, serving as the transition chord, because it's five of A major.
Of it.
Correct.
Is this like a music podcast? I had no idea.
It can be.
Oh my God. This is like, I'm ready for this. That's like.
So you should have done this then because I'm reading. I'm not smart enough. So that leads into the modulation of the chorus where the vocals spend a good deal of time in A major. Each chorus ends on a C sharp chord, as you just said.
Which is the turnaround to.
Which is reinforced by the vocals today. So that's how you're transitioning, right? Cleverly, the dominant seventh, obviously. The song resolves back into F sharp minor in the next verse. The same shift back into A major occurs upon each repetition of the chorus, although the song ends in F sharp major on the F sharp minor or the one chord.
Yeah, it's wild.
Crazy town. But of course, you know all of that since you are a composer.
Well, like, this is funny. I was like, this is all things that I would like bring up as we were talking through the song. I was like,
any musical notes you have, please. This podcast is whatever we want it to be. We just have to talk about a single song for an hour.
Yay. Which is easy for me. Wildly.
Perfect. Well, then let's get into it. Are you ready?
Okay.
We're just, here's the picture. We're driving. We're on a road trip. We do know where we're going. We got Google Maps up.
Yeah.
It's magneted to the AC vent.
So we're not in 1998. Back when Google Maps, do you remember when you had to like print out
MapQuest?
You'd like go to MapQuest and you'd print out your directions and they would be like.
When I moved to LA in 2008, I had the Thomas Guide, the giant book map in my backseat.
My God.
It was a different time.
Wow, what a time. What a time to be alive.
So we're with our Thomas Guide, we're with our MapQuest printout,
right.
Stapled together, of course, and we're cruising the radio and we're like, oh, I can't find anything to listen to. And we're like, what is that? Oh, go back. Yeah, the hi-hat.
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of fuzzy.
Wait. Can you? Wiggle the knob a little bit.
Can we just wiggle it a teensy bit?
Just a little bit.
What's happening here?
Wait. Yeah. I need to understand.
And that's how the song starts.
And that's how the beginning of the song. Well, what's amazing about that is that it also, there are three songs that it plays in that little section.
Good know it.
Right. And like one of them is fully Madonna's Vogue.
What? Is that the
There's
that
like a little, it,
Which
there's
one?
A little clip of.
You know it.
I'm pretty
that's
sure that's
Vogue.
From Vogue.
Oh my God, what an Easter egg! The cinematic universe of Fastball's the way.
Well, the other, it's two other songs too. Wait.
It's a lot of talking.
It's a lot of talking.
I hear maybe
it's,
Peter
there's
Jennings.
There's sampling. Hold on. Now
you
I have
know?
To. The three songs are Madonna's Vogue, Roy Orbison's You Got It. That's where the You Got It is.
Oh.
You got it. and Jewel's Foolish Games. So if Jewel! We like listen to those things, apparently we can listen to those three things. That's what's happening.
Okay, one more time. Let's see if we can spot them. Okay, I heard a male vocal in the background.
Right,
there,
right.
For a brief
There's
second.
Like speaking. No, I think that one is Madonna. I think that
it
You Know It is
like
Madonna.
She's
I think it's, you know, that's.
Wow. You have more notes than I do, and that's why you're here today.
Look, honestly, that's how I got here.
Also, because you showed me rule 34 of Simba having sex in the car.
Oh, that was real.
And
hugely
I was like,
important.
My friend, okay, former host of this podcast, my friend Demi, he saw me post that on Instagram story that you were showing me that, and he instantly messaged me back. It's insane how much hot animals are a part of your brand. And oh. I was like, would you believe that Heath brought that up? I had
I 100% did bring that up because I often argue that if out of all of the animated animal characters
yes.
in history, I believe that the hottest of them is Khufu, Scar's son in The Lion King 2.
You're going to get so many people so excited from this. I'm sure there's a whole army of Khufu.
I hope so, because tell you what, send me all of your...
Khufu army, rise up.
Rise
Now's
up.
The time.
I like that we literally listened to the first like 5 seconds.
Sorry, I was just like, we got in radio mode and I was like, I'm a VJ. Like,
whoa.
I know, sorry. Okay, so here we go into verse one, but don't worry, we're still in mono.
Right. We made up
their minds. It's like distorting.
Right. And they started backing.
It sounds literally like shit.
Like, this sounds bad. Like, you tried to make it sound bad. Which I think is supporting why I think this is a sad song.
It's so sad. Production is sad here.
An exit to eternal summer slacking. That sounds good, though. But where were they going
without ever knowing the way? Okay, what he said. They made up their minds and they started packing and left before the sun came up that day. An exit to eternal summer slacking. But where were they going without ever knowing the way?
I'm just gonna point out that at this point, we don't know whether this is good or bad. Everything that he said so far could be like, yeah, my buddies and I, we got up super early in the morning. Because one time, true story, first time I went to LA, I quite literally got up with a friend of mine in out on the east side of Seattle. We like got up in the morning and the morning before, or like 2 days before, we had been like, we should go to Disneyland. And two days later, we quite literally got in a car and drove from Seattle to Disneyland.
Okay, that's like a 20-hour drive.
Truly insane.
That's fucked. I've never done that in less than 3 days. That's not okay.
That really happened, yeah.
That's not safe. And then you were supposed to have the energy for Disneyland?
Well, so we did that, and then we stayed at my friend's house.
Thank God.
Then we like...
You needed a breather.
We had a breather, and then we like... Yeah, and then we went and saw the mouse. And then we went to what I was really going there for, which was Six Flags Magic Mountain, which is why I was there.
Did you ride all of them?
Oh, yeah.
The Green Lantern?
Oh, yeah.
Fuck that
ride. Well,
that
ride. Would hurt your head.
It's such
no,
a
what's
headache.
Interesting is it was this, the reason that I insisted that we do this is because it was the year after X came was made.
X,
the 4D roller coaster, the one that's the X2 now.
X2, it has the biggest loop-de-loop in history.
It was the first four-dimensional. Okay, so this is going to get wild, but like I'm also like a weird roller coaster fanatic.
Oh my God, I love your Venn diagram.
It's just like, all right, roller coaster freaks, everybody who played Roller Coaster Tycoons 1, 2, and 3 goes,
that's Roller Coaster.
And also musical theater.
Of course, naturally. Comedy, music theory.
Music theory.
Simba's cousin, Khufu.
Simba's young cousin, Khufu.
When you say young, it makes me feel bad.
Well, the problem is, I mean, if you really analyze Simba's pride, it gets really stressful because it's Khufu's.
We shouldn't do this.
Yeah.
We need to have this conversation off air. This isn't okay.
I went to the, you got up in the morning.
Get that sense of like they have somewhere to be.
Exactly.
They are inspired and they're suddenly like, we must go.
Right.
To ride X and also go to Disneyland.
Oh, exactly.
But
mostly to ride X.
But by the way, 4D roller coaster, I feel like, is that just like it smells good?
No, so
4D.
Oh my God, this is not a roller coaster podcast, but it basically means, have you ever seen like at a fair, the way they used to describe this, that I used to describe it to people is that, you know at a fair, those crazy rides called the Zipper?
I just rode one fall at my home county Zipper.
Truly,
the
those
San
are the
Juan county
scariest
fair,
rides
the
I've ever seen. So
it
imagine,
was nothing compared to the octopus, but go on.
Okay, true. But okay, so imagine a Zipper, but on the Zipper is actually the car of the of the roller coaster. So you on the roller coaster can flip individually as the-
I hate this.
It's amazing. It's truly an extraordinary ride.
I'm pretty sure I briefly fainted on the octopus. So I don't think I
could handle
this.
Maybe not. Maybe not.
I
okay,
do.
So where were they going without ever knowing the way? It's about X.
They're going to Six Flags Magic Mountain.
Well, we know that, but once you're on the ride, you're flipping. You don't know where you are. You're up and down.
Okay, so they're on Six Flags Magic Mountain's ride, the X.
I think it's called X2 now.
It
killed someone and then they shut it down for a while and then they reopened it.
Like any classic roller coaster.
Technically, the person who died wasn't on the ride. They were hit by the ride.
Stop.
Yeah, it's because the car is like 20 feet wide, which is really hard to like tell when you're looking at it.
We are truly so America's first roller coaster podcast. You guys, if you're into Fastballs Away and roller coasters, you're going to fucking love this episode.
You did not know what you were getting into when you asked me to be here. You're like,
honestly, you're a perfect podcast guest. This is going perfectly.
It's going very well.
Okay, so now guess what we're going to do?
Okay.
Add a little more context and change it to stereo.
Heyo.
Ready?
Here we go.
Fade off.
There's the song.
And the guitar.
Oh God, this song is, it brings me back.
I know. And when the car broke
down, they started walking. That's when we started, that's it.
Uh-oh.
That's the moment. We're like, uh-oh. Where were they going without ever knowing the way? Oh.
Kind of slaps.
It slaps.
The
come on.
Second
it holds up.
It breaks through to the other side. And now all of a sudden it feels like Hotel California.
Right. We're like bopping along.
Why? Is it the story song with the like pseudo Mexican guitar?
I think so. I think that's the
vibe.
Yeah, yeah. And there's something about that electric guitar thing that you pointed out, that thing like feels like we're in like weirdly in the Old West.
Yes, precisely in the Old West, but before it was colonized.
Right.
Uh-huh. Exactly correct.
Right.
They drank up their wine.
Uh-huh.
Drinking and driving?
Not great.
Okay. And they got to talking.
Right.
Aren't they? They sound like they embarked on this journey together, so getting to talking seems... Okay, it's fine.
Yeah, it's questionable.
But now they had more important things to say.
Now that I have questions
like?
About this. What were they talking? The thing is that this song is so vague.
Yep.
Which is what makes
you
it.
You have to ignore the backstory we already know.
Right, exactly.
We only have the song.
And they're like, okay, they drank up the wine and they got to talking. Then now they had more important things to say. Like,
I think the opposite usually happens when you're drinking. You have less important things to say.
Right.
You spend an hour discussing like...
Kovu and Simba having sex.
Who's the top, who's the bottom
exactly.
in that situation. Which as the picture on Rule 34 let us know...
Kovu's the bottom. He was just on top in the photo.
No, but he's bottoming.
He's bottoming.
He's a power bottom.
He's a power bottom.
I would contest.
Yeah, that would remain uncontested. You would...
Any boomers that listen to this podcast, I think this is the episode where they say, I'm out. I can't do this anymore. On the other hand.
Anyway, that was...
The car broke down, they started walking.
Uh-oh.
Again, were they drinking and driving? Did the car break down because they crashed? They didn't shift gears and they're driving 60 in first.
Also, there's like... Right.
I don't know.
Also, there's like this weird image where I'm like, where is the road that they're on that they just like are driving and then the car stops working so they get up and like start walking?
So have you seen Thelma and Louise?
Okay.
It's like through the canyons.
Right.
It has to be,
it's
right?
It's gotta be.
Otherwise, what? It's like the PCH? No. You can't walk on the side
of
the PCH.
I also think that this has to... our weird like pseudo-Mexican like weird like frontier makes it feel like it's in the Southwest or like...
Well, I think the band, I believe, is from Austin.
Yes,
the story's from Texas as well. So I would not be surprised if they were like, we have to make it sound,
right,
quote unquote, Texan.
Right, I guess that is Texan. It's weird because in my head, I think about like Utah.
Yeah,
or
Zion.
Like, yeah, uh-huh. That's like what happens in my head. But maybe, I mean,
Texas
is really big.
Texas is so big.
There's a lot in Texas.
Talk
there's
about a road trip cactuses. You don't want to do overnight.
Cacti.
We'll take them both.
Cacti?
Yeah.
Cacti.
Maybe they ate some mescaline with their wine.
Oh.
Where were they going without ever knowing the way? We've already established X2.
Right. They were going to...
They're walking to Santa Clarita.
They're walking to Six Flags Magic Mountain.
Just on the side of the 5. That's what it is. That's the road.
Can you imagine if this all took place on I-5?
Oh, God.
Just disgusting. They're in traffic and the car breaks down. They get out.
They're going over the grapevine.
Like, what the...
They're pulling over at Anderson's Pea Soup.
Oh my God.
So many California references. I'm sorry. God.
Okay,
so now, if you can't tell, we're about to go on a journey, and that is into the major key.
Here it comes. There it is. I can see the road that they walk on is paved with gold. It's always summer, they'll never get cold.
What just happened? Everyone in their cars went, oh, it's this song.
Like, yeah, I love that song.
The verses are kind of unrecognizable.
Truly unrecognizable. What's also really interesting about this song, I have so many weird stories. I'm sorry that I keep coming up with them, but
this is literally all podcasting is. You're exactly home.
Just a sequence of unrelated stories. You're sort of related. One time.
Welcome home.
When I was in college, I wrote a song that was accidentally this song.
Stop.
And I didn't know.
F sharp minor into A major?
No, it was the A major chorus. It was da 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 da.
It's so hooky.
It was so hooky.
It could happen to all of us.
And then I was like, oh, that's a great bop that I wrote. And then I was like, that's Fastball's
the Way. That's Fastball's the Way. However, I did recently hear Fastball's other song, Out of My Head or whatever it's called, sampled in like a rap song.
Oh.
And it worked.
Tell you what, where is the sampled The Way? Bring The Way back, honestly.
Oh my God, you know what? We should take an ad break. That felt natural and good. Great ads. Thanks to our sponsors. Are you ready for the second half of the chorus?
Mm-hmm. You can see their shadows wandering off somewhere. They won't make it home, but they really don't care. They wander the highway. They're happier there today.
God, so sad.
Okay, so the lyrics of the chorus in total.
Okay, go.
Anyone can see the road that they walk on is paved in gold. And it's always summer. They'll never get cold. They'll never get hungry. They'll never get old and gray. You can see their shadows wandering off somewhere. They won't make it home, but they really don't care. They wanted the highway. They're happier there today.
Okay, so couple things. One, I literally get teary when you say.
Are you saying that because you can see tears in my eyes?
No, the mic is in your way. But my point is that I literally, like, I hear it and I'm like, this is tragic.
It's also very poetic.
Right. Like, this is like a beautiful sentiment. And it's in it for me. This is when, for me, a 10-year-old me, I was like, this is about death.
It obviously, right? It feels very Peter Pan.
Right. Like, they're, yeah. Oh, God. Like,
X2. Think about X2.
Think about roller coasters. I'm going to always be happier there.
It's today. Interesting to hear, too, that they're going to El Dorado after all of this.
Right?
I think I saw this movie.
Oh, my God. The Road to El Dorado. Hugely important movie to me. Oh. Miguel and Tulio.
Hot.
Oh, my God. Hot.
Weirdly hot.
Weirdly hot.
Just under Cusco in terms of this era of animation hotness.
Right. Exactly.
Cusco is a llama, though. Yes.
Right. Well, everything as an animal is better than them as a
cartoon only. Clearly, we're not into bestiality.
We're not furries. Whoa, bestiality too. Yeah.
Not bestiality. We're saying we're the podcast that stands against bestiality.
No bestiality. Do not have sex with animals.
Ever. Don't even lust over them. Cartoons, however.
Cartoons.
Fair game. Fair cartoon game. Robin Hood. I'll say it once. I'll say it twice. Very
that's
hot.
A good looking.
That fox Robin Hood.
He was. Foxy.
Oh, brother. Or the fox from Zootopia.
Oh, yeah. Also, whoa.
The giraffe from Zootopia.
Also hugely important, the beast prior to being the prince.
I think he's hotter as the beast.
Everyone
is that
does.
Bad?
I think,
oh,
I think that you're correct. I think it's objectively true that he is hot. When he became a man, and this is prior to me being like openly queer in any way, but like when he became a man, I was like, that guy's sort of ugly.
Not into it.
Yeah.
Like too normal looking.
Not just normal looking. He like looked untrustworthy.
Chunks.
He looked like
chunky
his name was like
neck.
Chad.
Exactly. It's the neck. He looked like a quarterback.
Yeah.
As the beast, he was like mysterious and cool.
Right. Like,
I'm so glad that The Way is the reason we got to this point. I've been wanting to make on air for years.
The Way.
And then the part about, oh my God, you can see their shadows wandering off somewhere.
Beautiful.
Is that a reference to Peter Pan, or is that to say that like their spirits, like, is that a reference to dying?
I think we have to assume that it's about dying.
Yeah.
There's something so that you don't see them die. You just sort of see the sort of impression
spirit.
Of them, the spirits of them
becoming
sort of wandering
free.
Off somewhere.
Their and spirits like, get to commit to a lifetime of wanderlust.
Right. And incidentally in this chorus, you know, in the verse, we keep saying, where were they going without ever knowing the way? And the idea of wandering being so much of like an encapsulation of that, but it's like, it feels positive or like not bad.
It forces you to be very present.
Right.
I will
coupled with our major key as opposed to the minor key. So
excellent point. We feel like we've went from feeling kind of confused about what's happening. And all of a sudden it's like, no, everything's okay. We're going to be okay.
Right.
Even if we die, that's okay.
So complex.
I gave myself chills.
Oh man.
And they're happier there today. Okay, so now we're going to slug back into that minor.
Right. And I will say, just before we get to this next section, this next section is the part that I was like, I could not handle when I was a child.
I mean, you're not alone. A lot of the patrons commenting were like, as a kid, I always knew this song was very sad. I couldn't understand why people were singing along to
it. And it's this.
This is the section that did
it's
it.
It's the section.
Okay.
Yeah.
Today, children woke up and they could.
So sad.
Devastating.
So sad.
Left before the sun came up that day.
I love that he reiterated.
Literally.
Before dawn broke, they were gone. But they had kids.
They had kids in their home. They weren't 60, is what I'm saying.
In the song,
bringing
I don't think they are.
Back to the story, the real story. That's why I was like, yeah, it would be nice if their kids didn't know, but their kids were 60.
I heard a story somewhat recently of an older couple, not that old, but older, who both were aging in a way they weren't super psyched about, like physically their quality of life was deteriorating quickly. Mm. And they had grown kids and they both were like very educated science types. Mm. And so they had their kids over one afternoon and they had this like great hang and then the kids went off to like go to the beach or something. And when they came home, their parents had both like quietly killed themselves in a tent in the backyard. Left letters, took care of everything before they went. They just wanted to have some agency in the way that they went out. Mm. And I know that probably a lot of people are like, that's so fucked up. This is so fucking sad. And like, yeah, inherently it's sad. But I also think it's kind of beautiful.
Yeah, I mean, there's something about the notion of like controlling your own death.
Why are we not allowed to do that?
If you want to go like real big on this, there's like the idea that suicide is a sin so born into Catholicism that it's like
it's
not great. I wonder like what that's about.
It's very nuanced. By no means are we being like, absolutely, yes.
No, right. Like 13 Reasons Why is we're like not into
that.
Oh,
we're not okay with
that. We're like not okay with it.
Absolutely not okay with that.
But also there is a, you know, agency about self, agency about one's life.
Yes.
It's like you have to be.
And this song I think really kind of leans into that, especially with this life being like, I'm sorry, with this line saying that the children woke up and couldn't find them.
Right.
But ultimately the moral of the song is still like, but they're doing great out there.
Right.
So like it almost, I don't know, maybe I'm being too poetic about it, but it feels like a nod to like, this isn't about you kids.
Right. Which is, I think young kids listening to this song were
panicked.
Panic about it.
Yeah.
I really think that it's like, I think adults listening to this song would be like, yeah, this is a bop. And the sort of children are incidental. But if you're a person who identifies with the kids, then suddenly you're like, wait, this song is just about parents. Are you going to leave me?
Disappearing. It's every kid's worst nightmare.
Right. So your father playing this song.
Not okay.
Not okay.
Too soon.
I'd be like, don't do that.
This song is actually PG-13.
Right. 100%.
More than any song I've ever heard, this is PG-13.
This is the definition of PG-13.
It also is interesting to revisit as a grown woman.
Totally.
Because I feel like I'm having that same effect I have when I watch like the Goofy movie now.
Right.
Whereas as a kid, I watched it and was like, Goofy's such a dick. Let Max have some fun. And
right.
Now as a grown up, I'm like, Max needs to be a better fucking kid. His dad does so much for him. He works his ass off as a single dad and he won't even go on a road trip with his old man.
No, because he wants
a girlfriend. Poom. Maxine.
Yeah. Maxine.
That's not her name, is it?
No, I think it is. No.
That can't be her name. His name's
Max. Roxanne.
Roxanne. It feels like a cousin of
that
Maxine.
That feels, I was like, I got to Roxanne because of Maxine. I will give
Thank
you that
you.
One.
This is why we should have a podcast together, actually.
This is the one.
You guys stay tuned for the next podcast coming on HeadGum's Network, Roller Coaster.
It's going to be roller coasters. It's going to be animated. it's sex with animated animals.
Roller coaster of us.
The roller coaster of our lives.
Okay. Now the second half of verse 2.
They just drove off and left it all behind them.
That harmony I love.
Freedom.
wait. You have to hear that again.
I have to hear that again.
They're saying
so
leave
sorry.
It all behind.
Right.
Where were they going with us?
nod to the hip hop movement? Like, what is that?
Leaving it all behind. What?
That part was still on the radio. If you want to hear it one more time. Linkin Park Wishes.
This is System of a Down.
That's the part where I go, right, 1998.
Right, there 100%. It is. 100 and, oh God.
Otherwise, this feels like it's just permanently, I don't know, as a patron put it, in a bowling alley.
Yeah. Wait, that's a brilliant.
Right?
That is brilliant.
I should find their name. That was a great point.
Yeah.
Darcy S. said, bowling alley. Thank you, Darcy.
Yeah. Thank you, Darcy. That's so good.
Right? Because it does. It just, there's something inherent in this song that's like, okay, yeah, I'm bowling.
Right. And I'm like immediate. It's funny. Like if I were to be making a, you know, like a 2000s era period film, mm-hmm. like, and.
Which by the way, I'm very much looking forward to that happening more and more.
Right. But right. 2000s era
yep.
as a period film.
Absolutely.
Right. And that sort of the, they walk into a bowling alley, that song's playing. I'm like, I know exactly where we are. I know exactly who's here. I like,
yep.
I like smell.
We're all wearing jeans that are so wide at the bottom, but not flared.
Absolutely. so strange.
They're fucked up on the back.
And like people have
long.
Like pants. They have like painting on their pants. Like somebody wrote painted flowers
paint.
On the, and then also this is very specific to that era. It smells like cigarettes because there's a smoking area in the bowling alley and
yes!
that does not exist today.
I would add. It smells like the Bath and Body Works vanilla perfume.
Specific.
My sister bought me again for my 30th as Ooh. Like a throwback.
Wow, wow, wow.
And now I've actually kind of been using it and I literally feel 10 years old.
Well, it's wild.
Instantly back.
I have at Kenmore Lanes in Kenmore, there was a smoking section, which was the bar, and you actually couldn't go into the bar if
you
weren't
a kid.
Right.
So they had to bring the French fries out to you.
Yes. And you could sometimes walk through that area if you had to go to the bathroom.
What?
So like,
did you ever sneak and take a little longer just to see what it's like to be an adult?
Like.
Cosplay
I mean,
for
you
a
like
moment.
Walk slowly, but like being an adult, honestly,
sucks.
Being an adult, like
it's the worst.
Sitting in a bar so that smells like cigarettes,
mm-mm.
not the move.
Way cooler in The Big Lebowski than in real
Ooh,
life.
Oh God, yeah.
Okay, now.
Anyone can see the road that they walk on is paved in gold. It's always summer.
I know. I didn't know. Did we want to talk about that?
No, I mean, we've heard it all. That's the entire song.
Can we hear this very weird short guitar solo?
I think we have to, honestly.
They knew it sounded like the Eagles, and they were like, okay, we have to like throw in a teensy bit. Just a nod to the eagle. Or Smash Mouth?
Right.
This feels very Smash Mouth.
This feels very late 90s is what it feels.
Sorry, wait. I actually do need to listen to that again.
You know, I know, and I have to not get in the way, but I want to just like call attention to something that there's
yes.
this era of like guitar solos that
were
vaguely
bad.
Yeah, uh-huh. They sound like it's trying to be bad.
They're like, it stank, and I'm like, no, it's bad.
Right, like that's not good. And what's wild about it is that you actually can't mimic it.
Uh-uh.
Like it's like grunge music,
bam!
Right? You're like, this is weirdly bad, and
truncating,
like that's kind of the thing,
making it everything feel like you hit the wrong note.
Right.
Listen again with that in mind. It's fine.
No. This is like a, oh God.
Anyone gets
no. You didn't deserve
Blah.
That.
Just the end.
He hit that hard stop thinking it would be like, all right. Meanwhile, everyone was like, what? It was only 15 seconds.
It was 15 seconds and it was not good.
No, and there was no payoff. It didn't go anywhere.
There was no growth. There was like that weird section that was like atonal.
Yes, like it felt not- like the whole time he was trying to go, oh, wait, hang on. Fuck, hang on.
Right,
and then he just decided to end it.
Right, it's like H. John Benjamin's jazz album.
Marika, and quietly in the corner going,
wait, that was a good reference. Come on.
She loved it. That's why I laughed, to be honest. I'm not familiar.
Oh, it's wild.
Who is H. John Benjamin?
What?
Rick and Morty? No, who is H. Tubman? He's
Bob's Burgers and Archer.
I knew it was. To be fair, he was an animated guy. Icon.
Yeah.
I do not like cartoons that are not animals.
Fair.
That's actually true. I said it without thinking about it, but that actually checks out.
We actually can unpack that. No, we don't have to. It's true.
It's just true.
I actually, what's funny is that most adult, we have really run the gamut of topics. But I do find that adult cartoons.
Unless they're hentai, not interested.
Is there tentacle porn involved?
Oh, the lighthouse. Have we seen it? Can we discuss?
No, I haven't seen it.
Hentai in real life. That's all I have to say about it.
Oh, do you know what I loved as movies that I recently saw is Parasite. You have to see Parasite.
Oh my God. Of course. Everyone has to see Parasite.
I know. I'm just saying like.
Parasite's amazing.
Right.
You guys,
I haven't seen Lighthouse.
Quick break from the pod to let you know that we are cinephiles. And unfortunately, I don't get to talk about it enough on this podcast.
I will give you an opening for anything.
I would love to shout out also Pain and Glory.
Okay.
Holy shit, have you seen it?
No, I haven't.
It fucked me up for about a week. It's unbelievably beautiful. Queer story. You must see it.
Oh, we love a queer story.
We love an Antonio Banderas in his prime.
And it's like a weird like commentary on like 8.5. In my head, I was like, this is... We're just making ourselves cinephiles right now. I'm just like making myself
seem... Have you guys seen
cinephiles? Have you seen...
Really quick, I'd love to detour into 400 blows. I have to stop. And then if you could guess, what do you think's next? After that riveting guitar solo?
Major's Key. Is that what we were going for?
The chorus again.
Walk on
his
face.
It's getting a little tired now.
I know, seriously, like...
Summer and never get old. My theory is never get highway.
The thing is... Are we just going to fade out? We should just fade out because it just does this over and over again for the rest of it.
I'm just going to let you talk while it's playing. Tell me a story.
Okay, so what's interesting is that this is, you know how we spent that moment unpacking the sort of beauty of the poetic language of it, that it's like, that to me feels elevated above what we consider pop music.
Ah,
but
too good lyrically for a song like this.
Right. Mm-hmm. But the trick of that is if you just play
repeat it
over and over again, it's going to make it seem okay.
Dumb it down. Water it down.
Yeah, it's less watering it down and more giving you a longer period. It's saying, think about this continuously. It's the same technique is used in, this is wild. Ready for this? So in
the classic French film.
In the classic French film. I wish. This is going to seem dumb. But in Katy Perry's Unconditional.
Yes.
Okay. So,
which, by the way, can we talk?
Unconditional is the weirdest thing.
Not how you would say
that. So my point is that if I'm gonna get mad at a lyric for doing that, I'm gonna get mad at a lyric for doing that because that's not how you say that word.
Unless you're a second English language speaker, I'm not okay with you doing that.
But what Unconditionally does is it says it over and over and over and over again in the same way. So by the end of the song, you will know what she's saying.
It's, Unconditional.
You're like, you know what that word is. You understand what the concept is. You know, understand the meat of it, which does not make it okay per se. But what I'm saying is that like by repeating something that is not good over and over and over again, it allows you to sort of understand it because the point of a lyric is to be understood theoretically.
Okay, so you're saying bad art, give it 14 tries before you determine that it's bad.
That is...
It's a slippery
unfortunately
slope
what I'm saying. I know. like now that I'm like, you have to watch this many times. Or
maybe in the case of this song, say something that feels at first a little inaccessible, but then just keep saying it.
Yes. Okay. That's really the point.
I think I'm a little more on board with that one.
Well, yeah. Well, the thing is, it's still a slippery slope.
It always is.
That slippery slope can lead us to Unconditionally.
It's
so
always a slippery slope with me because I'm just dripping sweat at all times.
It's quite warm in here.
Greasy. I don't know. I don't even know. Drooling. What is this liquid?
Oh, God. Oh, God.
So here's just 31 seconds of outro.
Okay. Just 31 seconds of outro.
Sorry, one more time. What was that? That's an alien like morphing into a different form.
I'm pretty sure that sample is in GarageBand.
Really
a roller coaster.
So
my God.
I mean, we really hit the the nail on the head with the roller coaster thing. We just naturally gravitated towards.
Yeah.
This was a roller coaster at the very end of the song. We didn't realize we were on. You know what roller coaster this is? It's Superman.
It's Oh, yeah.
For not roller coaster heads. It's a ride at Six Flags Magic Mountain that's powered by magnets.
Yep.
So you go from zero to, I don't know, 300 miles an hour.
No, it's like 101 miles an hour, I think.
Instantly, you go straight up the side of Lex Luthor, 1,000 feet in the air approximately, and then right back down.
So the funny thing is that when that ride was built, it was the tallest and fastest roller coaster in the world.
It's my,
it was like a whole thing.
Lex Luthor is my favorite ride at Six Flags Magic Mountain because I love to feel like I'm about to die.
Right.
Quick second, Superman.
Well, I was going to say, feeling like you're about to die is a relative term because I also feel like I'm about to die on Green Lantern and for
in a
very
way.
Different reason.
In a way that I feel like my whole neck is broken.
Right, I'm gonna die. There's a, you have to like literally hold the restraints and like push your head back. So
oh,
that you don't,
and even with
even
it, your
then
head's
it's,
jerking.
But there's also like 6.7 seconds of airtime on Superman and that shit's amazing.
That's so nerdy. I
told you at the... And they like there's
Welcome
like videos
the
of like people guy with a banana and he like lets the banana go and it like flies or like people like pick up quarters but it's like also a really bad thing to do like you have to hide that
because because you'll kill someone
maybe
in another song will be written about them
and the
anyone
can see the road that they
I would love to throw this out there as the new funeral song.
Oh my, play the way at my funeral.
Play the way at my funeral.
Here's the thing. In summation, I'm going to say that when I have adult children, I'm going to invite them over for a nice picnic. I'm going to go out to the back. I'm going to kill myself in a tent. And in my will, it's going to say you have to play the way at my funeral. This is wild.
Can we just, for a quick second, I'd love to focus on the fact that you said when I have adult children.
My large adult sons.
I don't know if I need to have children, but I do need to have adult children.
Honestly.
I'm adopting kids at 17 and a half. They probably know what to do already. They're 6 months from being an adult.
That's it. And then I'm like...
Yeah, the very end of the song, they just threw it all at the wall. They were like, if this hasn't worked for you yet, let's see if we can win you over the last 5 seconds.
Oh, no.
It kind of works for me. Look, I don't think it's like a classic. I don't think necessarily it's a song I'd like throw on a playlist.
Oh, no.
But when I analyze it 10 seconds at a time, it holds up.
Well, you have to like give them some credit for being like, trying to do something sort of wild.
It was
weird.
They
it's
were
a
like,
weird song.
What about, well, you know, like Paranormal Activity, how it says it's like inspired by historical events.
Yeah.
For a song. Okay. Yeah. I'm interested. And what if that song was Hotel California if it was made in 1998?
And also intended to be played at a bowling alley all the time.
100. Okay. Now I have to ask you, would you punch it up? And if so, what would you want to see done with it?
Oh, God, what a great question.
It's so hard.
So I think
why did
that,
I make this hell for myself?
I know. This is the hardest. What I would offer is that I think potentially you could get away with taking that second verse and making it more vague and not bringing the children into it. Because I think the children
so
coming
the song's
into it.
Otherwise the same.
I'd just get rid of the children. That because then if I were a 10-year-old, I would have been like, this is a bop. And I'd be like, yes, this is like a weird meditation
okay.
on death.
So
and
when they woke up.
When they woke
up. The glasses they couldn't find them.
The children, no, so like the children, will, let's see.
You don't need to actually figure it out. We got time.
You don't want this? Okay.
Sorry. I'll write it off air. Oh, but
right.
Generally, like, do you think that like the issue with the song musically, lyrically, like what do we want to see? How could the song be marginally improved?
Right. So the changing of the second verse, I would get somebody who's actually good at playing guitar.
guitar solo that actually shreds.
The shredding guitar solo.
Great.
Or alternatively, like a Kenny G saxophone solo.
Well, no.
Lady Gaga did it. Okay. We can all do it.
Okay.
Can you imagine?
So more solos.
More solos. A better guitarist and then a saxophone solo.
Okay. So
because it's only 15
learned,
seconds right now.
Take the kids out of it.
Take the kids out of it.
More solos.
More solos.
This is going to be an interesting one.
Oh, I also have to bring up, I think that the beginning, we have to talk about the beginning. That weird, like, this is like...
Fading some, off the radio?
Yeah, the coming off the radio.
Do we
and
like
that,
it?
Like,
do we
being,
hate it?
I don't know. This is what I'm like, potentially...
Just lean into it more.
Lean
in whatever
into it
direction.
More. Yes, and I want to make sure that I can really hear Madonna's Vogue. I want to know.
Okay, I'm getting some ideas.
I want to set the scene at the beginning.
Okay.
In a like
build
clear,
the universe more
build
before
the, universe
the song starts.
So yeah, and I actually think that at this point we really want the song written in 1998 was sampling things from before it, but I think that if we really wanted to make the song feel like a real time capsule,
uh-huh.
we'd want that first section to be other songs from 1998. So that list of songs that you had.
Oh my God. Keith, I can tell you make musicals. This is, you just went from A to fucking Z. Every letter in between. Okay, so I have to write a mini musical is what
just
you're saying.
Just a miniature musical.
Everything
right
is described as a musical. Right. You're like, build the world more cool, at the top. More songs.
I want clarity of that text.
A
I really want to understand
break.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay. Okay.
Great.
I think I have my mission cut out for
oh
me.
Oh my God. Good luck.
With that said, let's get to Unpunchable Jams.
Can't punch this.
Keith, as my guest of honor, as the roller coaster aficionado, as you shall henceforth be referred.
The roller coaster aficionado, Heath Saunders.
What is your Unpunchable Jam?
I think my Unpunchable Jam is there's a John Bellion song called Overwhelming, which is probably my favorite song of the last 5 years.
There is a potion in your lips, so sweet, I'd die. There is an ocean in your hips, so deep, I'd die. I hear an opus when we kiss that completes my life. Yeah, I think I got one, and every single little thing about her is so.
There's a bunch of things that make it really, really amazing to me. The first thing that I always cite is that the lyric in the pre-chorus is one of the best pop lyrics I've ever heard.
What is it?
It goes, there is a potion in your lips so sweet, I die. There is an ocean in your hips so deep, I dive. I hear an opus when we kiss that completes my life. Yeah, I think I got one, and every single little thing about her is so overwhelming.
Wow, the rhyme scheme.
The rhyme scheme is
holy
unbelievable.
Holy shit.
And it's funny because I often cite it with my musical theater writing friends who like are all like, it's not real rhymes. I'm like, here's
fuck
the
off.
Thing.
It's called
like,
a slant rhyme for a reason.
It's called a slant rhyme, and slant rhyme can be used extremely effectively because it's just
conversational.
And then when you actually get it in context of the song, like it the way that the melody falls out is just so glorious.
Oh my God.
The second thing that I love about it musically is that it's like a very simple pop song, but the production of the song gets wild. The chorus is this song. It just goes, overwhelming. Yeah, overwhelming. Overwhelming. Everything else, just over and over again. But each of the sort of 4-bar phrases, the overwhelming, and then the second one, is different. Each one is produced radically differently. So
okay,
each
so
section,
the production is overwhelming.
Yeah, so the production of the song is including
that's good
at one
prosody.
Point, like a full like choir comes in and sings Overwhelming in every chorus for one phrase.
Wow.
It's wild.
They just wanted to flex the budget.
Right. It really was. But I think it's funny because the other thing that I love about it is that John Bellion as an artist is like very much produces his own stuff. He writes his own stuff. So I feel very excited by him as a creator in general because of that sort of like, he just like leans into what he's doing. And it is so weird and quirky and also him.
That's
and
the like, thing about great that. Art is that you have to do the thing that feels true to you and actually not give a shit what anyone else thinks about
right.
it, which is the hardest part about doing art.
Right, exactly.
Well, I'm very excited to listen to it now.
And actually that entire album is wild.
The
Human Condition, the John Bellion album, you listen to it from beginning to end. It features a full-on mega mix at the end, which is...
Demi somewhere is screaming.
Truly wild. I mean, it's literally like we are doing Joseph the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat and we want to sing every song at the end of the show.
Thank you. I went in a very different direction for my Unpunchable Jam.
Ooh, exciting.
I wanted to do a song. Of course, it's me, so it's gonna be sad.
Love it.
That is about loss, but feels like it's about loss. Not sneaky like this song.
Oh, okay.
It is more about heartbreak type of loss, but mm-hmm. I think that absolutely counts. And it's by friend of the pod, Julia Nunes, and it's called Not True.
I've been dying. Took an inch and then a mile, and you watched me go.
It is so heartbreaking in such an authentic way that it feels, even if you've never had your heart broken, you listen to it and you know what it feels like. It's so specific, it's so personal. The production is so sparse. It's so vulnerable. I listened to it once about 8 times in a row in a bath, and it was a whole experience. If you're not in a good headspace, don't fuck
maybe
with this
not
song.
With
But if you're like, I'm interested in feeling something, highly recommend Not True by Julia Nunes.
Not True.
Not True.
I'm going to write that down right now.
Very sad.
I'm writing it down.
Heath!
I'm taking out my phone. I'm opening my phone.
Heath Saunders!
I'm writing it down.
Thank you so much.
It's written down.
For coming all the way to Brooklyn and being on my podcast.
Oh my God, my pleasure.
It was so fun. Where can people check you out, follow you, listen to more, bug you about more roller coaster tidbits?
Oh, tell you what, I think the best thing that I have to shout out is that you have to check out my website, which is actually my family's website, which is thesaunderscollective.com.
Stop.
So, well, we didn't even get into it. So I come from a family of creators and performers and actors. I write musicals with my mom. My older brother is a middle choir teacher. All of my siblings are actors on Broadway and otherwise. It's like a whole thing. But if you go to thesaunderscollective.com, you can sort of enter into my family world a little bit, and that's really an exciting thing.
This whole time,
I was like hiding this.
There's more of you.
If you think talking to just me is overwhelming, overwhelming. Oh my God, I am so good at this.
You're on. He's ready for a podcast.
No. So check out my family. You can actually see us perform. We're doing a family cabaret in December, the 23rd of December. It's like a holiday cabaret that is.
I'm so sad I'll be back
dinner.
In Washington. Oh, I want to go.
It's gonna be a lot of fun. We're gonna have a good. So if you're around, it's 54 below. It's gonna be cool. But
this is handily the coolest shout out anyone's ever done on the show. Check out my whole family. We have a collective.
Yeah, it's a collective. Well, our collective is like a producing arm, and like we're like, it's a whole thing.
Honestly, if I was hanging out with all you guys and you were like, drink this, I'd be like, yep,
Well,
I've seen Midsummer. I like how this goes.
Yeah, like this is great. No, it really is like you. My family, I cannot speak highly enough of them. Like all of the things that make me are just my family. So,
oh my God.
Knowing them is great.
That's why the children waking up and not finding the parents was so startling to you. Because you're like, but I love them so much. They're more friends than parents, you know?
Well, now they are. My mom is quite literally my collaborator, so.
Stop! Oh my God. If you want to check me out, it's not my whole fucking family. It's just me at Meow or Meow Monster on everything or Punch Up the Jam. We also have a Patreon with very good perks. I make secret playlists.
Oh my God, I didn't tell you to follow me on Instagram and Twitter. I'm also funny on Instagram and Twitter.
You are. I follow you on both.
At Feel the Heath.
Feel the Heath. That's such a good pun. Absolutely. So instantly follow both of us.
So follow everyone.
And then maybe if you, I don't know, DM us enough, we'll follow you back.
It is so true. I'm actually really susceptible to DMing.
Me too. I feel
like the internet is my best friend. And when people DM me, I'm like, this is why.
It's dangerous.
Hugely dangerous.
Speaking of dangerous, I guess we'll throw to what I did with this punch up now. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next week. Bye.
In 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And now for world premiere.
The Way by Fastball, but now it's for kids.
It's been get away.
They told me it's time, and they started packing. We left before the sun came up.
Snacks, Gardettos for breakfast. Mom, let me sit shotgun and DJ. When there it was, the sign as if from heaven. Google said left on the exit that said Disney Way. Anyone can see my parents took me to Anaheim without my brother's three-way family time. Like I was their favorite, they probably hated Jake and Greg. You can see our hats with the ears and our names on the back. Mine said son, hers said mom, his said dad. Like I was their only, my brothers were lonely at home. Go coaster. She gave me a hug when her escort said, "Hey man."
it on Instagram. Anyone can see the picture of me kissing me. Said that 7 Up was for people age 7 and up. Like 6 and a half was not old enough. But they were both jerkheads. But I got a girlfriend now, Minnie Mouse. Oh, it was just a dream.
Okay, that was
Touch
the Jam.
Touch
the Jam.
Hey!
Touch the Jam.
Touch
the Jam.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.